it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Chris, I got to contain myself because it's not game day.
No.
Because I want to turn this thing up.
I know.
But I don't want to turn it up too soon,
right?
Because we got tomorrow, we going all the way. It's all the way up. But for today, we got to break down how the Kings got here. What a win, even as a 9 seed, what a win, and packing up the Warriors, what that would mean for the Kings. Would it make you feel better about the season? Would it make you feel more confident going into next season? We'll talk about the Warriors and how they ended up here. Neither team thinks that they should be here, but guess what? You're both here for a reason, because you tricked off two. The combined number of tricked off games between the Kings and the Warriors,
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Ridiculous. And you messed around, and now you're about to find out. We'll see who ends up ending their season tomorrow. Hopefully it's not the Kings, but it's going to be tough. The Warriors are healthier, just like Jason said. They're healthier. They've been playing more consistent basketball. They feel like they're similar to the Lakers, and not that they made any moves at the trade deadline, but they figured some things out with your boy, Trayce Jackson-Davis, playing more. And, you know, they're confident. They're already – I mean, by the way, I'm up this morning. Yeah, why don't I just fire up some Bay Area radio? Why don't I just see what they're talking about over there?
Right. They're already talking about the Giants, maybe, struggling.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, the Giants.
Off season or something.
I mean, seriously, that's a conversation for a different day. But, oh, don't count. It's the same thing. Don't count us out. We get past. They're not even counting the Kings game. They're focused on.
They're already in the 8 seed, right?
Yeah. They're focused. They are
they're
literally
talking about OKC.
No, they're literally game planning OKC. You hear that? You hear that,
oh,
De'Aaron?
That's crazy.
You hear that?
Come on, five. Where you at, 10?
They said you're not built like that, 5. They're not even worried. They're gonna come down to their.
Not even taking a plane. Their bus ride.
No, you know. you want to own different pieces of property in the Bay and Northern. They're just coming up to their rental property in Sacramento. Okay, they're gonna check in, make sure everything's good, and then they're off.
Yeah.
And then that's how they're treating us.
Yeah.
That's how they're treating it. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good. I wouldn't sell yourself short. I think you've got enough energy for 2 days. I think you can keep it up. It's if this thing's going to go longer, I'm going to need you. So we're going to try. Yeah, I know you got it for sure. It's feeling all right. Like, you know, obviously the Warriors is a team that I think we're all sick of seeing. I mean, even though we haven't played them in a while, it felt like for a minute there they were the only team that was on our schedule. So, of course, this season was always going to come down to the Warriors. And you know, I know a lot of Kings fans out there probably don't feel great about the Kings' opportunity, but at the very least, if you want to look at the opportunity that the Kings have in front of them, they've got a chance to right all the wrongs from last year. The entire series, it all went down to that Game 7 in your arena. Well, now you have a very rare opportunity to make up for that game. Not a lot of times in sports do you truly have a time to right a wrong or to get an opportunity that you failed in last time. You have that right in front of you. You can take down Golden State, and then what's in front of you? Either match up against a team that you're 0-5 against and definite, and also really screwed you, because if New Orleans would have won, the Kings would have had two cracks at this thing on Sunday. So you either play New Orleans or you have an opportunity to play the oldest foe that the Sacramento era has, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. So it is a really cool opportunity that the Kings have in front of them where nobody believes in them. Now, I do think that there's even a large portion, I would say probably greater than 50% of even the Kings contingency, I would say, doesn't believe that this team should be the favorites in this matchup. And they have an opportunity to prove everybody wrong. The NBA, if you listen to national media, they're saying the Kings are by far the worst team of this play-in group. None of that matters in a one-game play-in situation. So you just got to do whatever you can to get these wins done. And, man, how crazy will it be if the Kings can do what nobody believes they can and get two wins here against against teams that they frankly probably have no business beating.
And we'll
you
talk
about live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? Back to me.
Back to me. It is inevitable. And we'll talk about the Lakers because the delusion.
It's crazy.
With the Laker fans. Yeah. Oh, why don't we? I literally heard this, Chris. I know you saw it too.
Yes.
Why don't we lose the first game to avoid the Nuggets so we can then be the 8 seed and play OKC? So you're going to lose the first game.
Yep.
Okay. And then bring in either a team in the Kings who you have not beaten this season.
That's right.
Or the Warriors who just packed you up 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The delusion is insane.
Crazy. It's crazy.
So you're not good enough to stay out of the play-in, but you're good enough to manipulate the play-in and get exactly what you want.
Yeah.
I really can't believe it, but
they might be the 8 and 10 seeds, but their fan bases are number 1 and 2 in delusion.
Yes.
They're like you said, man, they're already Warrior fans already game planning for OKC. Laker fans are already talking about how they're gonna manipulate the standings or the whatever to try and get further into the play. They're already talking about second round. How do we get to the second round? Crazy.
Frank Facts.
Crazy. Crazy.
Let's get it popping.
Frank Facts, let's get it popping. Frankie Cardicelli, even on game 82, where the Kings, really ultimately that game didn't matter, Frankie's still pumping out post-game articles. And, of course, this one leaned a little bit more into a preview of the play-in, but even still, we've got some end-of-season notes here in our Frank Facts. The Kings, Sacramento Kings, that is, 46-36, finished the season 10 games over 500 for the second consecutive season, the first time Sacramento has posted back-to-back records since 2003-2004 and 2004-2005. So even though this season has been incredibly frustrating, even though we have texters and people in my postgame who want Mike Brown out of town and say, what is Monty McNair doing? These guys have led this team in just 2 short years, and I know Monty's been here longer than two, but in 2 years they have flipped this thing completely on its head. I know they're a 10 or 9 seed, but even then, this is an incredibly deep Western Conference, and that part should not be overlooked. The fact that the Kings are definitely here to stay. This year was a building upon the foundation of last year, and at the very least, the foundation has not crumbled. A shorthanded Blazer team that was without 11 of its rotation players, and it looked like it relied on the three ball quite heavily in that first quarter. Alan, I've never seen anything like this, and I know a lot of people, ourselves included, were mainly paying attention to that Lakers-Pelicans game on Sunday, but when we would look up at the Kings-Blazers game in front of us, it was missed shot after missed shot after missed shot. The Blazers missed 20 of its first 21 attempts from beyond the arc. 1 of 21 the Blazers were at one point, and the Kings took advantage, pushing their lead to over 20 early in the second quarter. With 3 first quarter steals, De'Aaron Fox has 150 on the season, passing, I guess. Oh, I didn't realize Ron Artest had fully changed his name. Frank wrote in here, Meta Sandiford Artest, which is artist formerly known as Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, now goes by Meta Sandiford Artest.
Got it.
There you go. Learn something new every day. For the 7th most steals in a single season in franchise history, Domantas Sabonis posted his 77th double-double of the season. 77 out of 82 is insane. Mm-hmm. Versus Portland, tying the most in a single season since Moses Malone in 1978-79. That's the most since the ABA-NBA merger. Sabonis ended the season as the league leader in double-doubles with that 77 mark and tied the NBA lead in triple-doubles with Nikola Jokic, who did get a triple-double in the last game of the season to tie Sabonis. So shout-out Domas and Jokic with 26 triple-doubles on the season. Davion Mitchell finished the regular season with a career-best 36% from the three-point range. That obviously was a huge, huge developmental point for Davion. Good to see him hit that number, which has kind of been known as like the league Mendoza line, if you will. That's kind of the if you want to be considered even like a good shooter or a passable shooter, 36% is the number you want to hit. So shout out Davion for hitting that. Domantas Sabonis, again, secured his second straight rebounding title on Sunday, finishing with 1,120 rebounds. That's 13.6 rebounds per game. De'Aaron Fox secured his NBA steals title, leading the league with 150 steals, just over two a game. Fox became the second player in Sacramento era to swipe 150 more or more in a single season. Assistant coach Doug Christie did it four times. So shout out De'Aaron, who really did earn his nickname this year,
say,
of Swipe of the Fox.
Thanks to Chris Watkins.
Undeniably.
Saying, hey, Five, you don't deserve that swipe of nickname.
You know?
De'Aaron said, I got you.
He earned it. He earned it.
I got you. We set up the situation. Also, we see the double agents on the text line. We'll get to you.
Oh,
also, opening up the phone lines, how do you feel? Are you confident? Are you faking confidence? How do you feel? Let's go, Sacramento. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Nate playing this because we got beef.
Oh, yeah.
Grill it up. We got beef. Drizzy responded, by the way, speaking of beef. And you know what, Drizzy? I'm not really too thrilled with you. There are a lot of Zont jokes in there about Kendrick, who is a strong Zont. So I didn't love it, Drizzy, but you had to do what you had to do. But we got beef here. It's in the Bay. By the way, Chris, here you go. It's from the 925. Couple texts here. Come on, Styles. The Bay is not taking the Kings lightly. You're gaslighting. Dot, dot, dot. But the beam is done for the season. They go on to say, I'm a Warriors fan in the Bay listening to local radio in your station. You guys are gaslighting. Dot, dot, dot.
Definitely not.
But I love it.
Y'all, no, I promise you we're not gaslighting.
Like, I listened this morning.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the hosts. I heard a couple callers, and no, I didn't listen to 4 hours because we're prepping for the fastest growing show in Sacramento.
Right.
But they're literally saying, don't count us out. But it's not just the Warriors. The Lakers are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And this is why when we were talking with Jason, it's about what the play-in will become when these big names are no longer in the play-in. They're in the play-in because they're hitting the twilight, and I know Steph has still been playing amazing, but that big three is hitting their twilight. They might be done after this season. The Lakers are just a complete mess. Honestly, the Lakers, that's more embarrassing to me than the Warriors, because the Warriors, we knew they were getting old.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of stuck. They tried to bring it back. The Lakers, they did what they did, got to the Western Conference Finals out of the play-in, and this was supposed to be they had the
people
best offseason.
Yep, I was just about to say that.
The offseason champs.
Yep.
So honestly,
don't forget about the in-season champs.
The in-season champs.
Okay, not just offseason. Okay.
You know, man, this just
proves they already got a title this year.
And they got a banner too, a corny banner. This just proves what we can do when we take care of business, man. But look,
sounded like LeBron there.
as far as the Kings are concerned, and I'm looking here, it looks like the line has moved a little bit. Now it's Warriors favored by 2 points. Okay,
so gaslighting.
I mean, unless Vegas is gaslighting too.
No.
So you have a team in the Warriors who, I know we joke about the best rookie duo in the league.
That's
also
the
only rookie duo in the league that's not on the lottery team. And they could be if they lose. If with Pajemski, Trace Jackson, Davis, those are some good players, right? And they've been playing very well. Clay, he's
back.
He came from the cave. Yeah. He's out of the cave. Then he got on his boat, and he got back into the starting lineup.
Yep.
And we know what Steph Curry brings to the table. We know what Draymond brings to the table. This is going to be tough, man. And it's
absolutely
not just going to be tough because of what the Warriors bring. I mean, we've watched this team lose five of the last – out of the last six with no Malik Monk and no Kevin Huerter. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, you know, the Kings definitely have the odds stacked against them. I think if you think that the Kings, you know, can win the game, I do think that it's a lot of it is just kind of based on hope. Like, I don't know if you can realistically look at the where these two teams are trending right now and say that you feel better about the Kings' chances. I mean, they have everybody down, and I know GP2 and Kuminga are going through some things. It sounds like GP2's not going to play. It sounds like Kuminga is kind of on the fence, but the Kings are on the complete opposite side of that, where they're limping into the playoffs. They're holding on for dear life. And, you know, the Warriors, for the most part, they just got Chris Paul back. Like you said, Klay has kind of been through his ups and downs and seems to be more so on the up. Draymond's not getting suspended anymore, so he's played a good, consistent stretch. They're kind of just all the pieces are fitting in. Trayce Jackson-Davis getting more integrated into the lineup. Podziemski is definitely almost too comfortable with his situation there in Golden State. So, yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of things point in the Warriors' favor. Of course, all the experience, the fact that they did this last year in this building, they're not shook at all by this moment and by this opportunity. And, yeah, I mean, in a way, they're probably viewing Sacramento as a bit of a speed bump. They're like, okay, we just have to get through this to get to where we actually want to go. Meanwhile, the Kings are literally taking this thing game by game and saying, we can't even think about that 7-8 matchup because we have to focus so much on how we're going to game plan specifically for this game to try and figure out how we can – we've got all the experience in the world against this team. We've got to use all of that to try and figure out how to just get through this matchup, and then we'll worry about the next game after that.
Yeah, that's just how it's got to be. The Kings, we know that they can get hot from three.
Yeah.
My worry is the same thing.
They can also get cold from three. I mean,
it's the timing.
Yes, yeah.
It's the timing of it. Yeah. To me, Chris, this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about exactly what we've seen. I imagine the Kings get out early, right? They're hot. Sure. They get up 10, maybe 15 points. We're having a party in there. All the different songs after threes are being played. And then the Warriors just kind of wear it and they don't go away. Yeah. And it's a close game. It's anybody's game. Towards the. And by the way, I think I saw the Kings blew the most, what was it, double-digit leads out of any team that's still playing. Mm. So they were number 13.
Right.
And I believe like the other 12 ahead of them didn't make the play-in or something like that. So we've seen this with the Kings. They get up early. Yeah. We're all having a good time. They go ice cold. The Warriors just hang around. And then at the end, it's a close game the same way the other games have been close. And then we'll see. This is from the 8-3-1. This is going to be – and I want to know how many people feel like this. This is going to be the type of game where the cold-blooded killers kill. I am a little nervous going into the game because Golden State has theirs. We don't necessarily have ours. And that's a direct shot at De'Aaron, the reigning clutch player of the year.
I think he is ours. I think they're more. I think they're just saying Malik's not here, and so we don't have our full staff of people. Because I think everybody believes De'Aaron Fox. I think, maybe I shouldn't step out and speak for the texter, but I think a lot of people believe, or most people, or everybody believes De'Aaron Fox is going to step up in these kind of games. These are, you know, we saw last year in the playoffs, he elevated his game to be a 30-point-per-game scorer in the playoffs. It's just, you need more than that. Like you said, I mean, they have Klay. They've got Steph. You know, even Chris Paul can set people up in big games. Andrew Wiggins has had some big games, especially in that finals. They've got a lot of guys who can play big games. The Kings really only have De'Aaron Fox at this point in time.
Yeah. And De'Aaron, the thing is, and this is completely unfair, and I understand that, but the thing about it is what we've seen with De'Aaron, even in this last stretch, is that unfortunately it is a make or miss league. And even if you're the reason, if you're in this position, or the team is in a position, if you don't make that last shot, that's what gets remembered.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the Celtics, and I'm thinking, you know, OKC. And now you have, and then you have just a couple days ago with Phoenix and somebody on the also Dave. On the Sack Chat, shout out to the Sack Chat, by the way. Also, Dave is asking, did the 2-minute report come out? And look, I was in the post game. You were doing the post game. Be sure you catch Chris on YouTube, Sacktown Sports, after every single Kings game. And I was in there, and De'Aaron, he wouldn't even answer the question about what the play was. He was so adamant about making it known that he was fouled. look, man, I'm not going to get into tinfoil hats about the two-minute report, but the two-minute report said that they didn't see enough contact, and we know that they've been wearing it lately. They've been saying, hey, we were wrong. You know, SGA traveled, and Colby Jones got hit in the face, so they will wear it. I don't – if I'm putting on the tinfoil hat, it's, oh, did they not want to look bad because De'Aaron called them out so much? I don't know. The bottom line is it's an L, and now you have the opposite of having two cracks at it. You need two wins just to get in, and that's just what it is. So if it's not fair to compare Steph and De'Aaron, but that's just what's going to happen in one game settings like this. And I hope De'Aaron is listening, and I hope De'Aaron is reading everything, because there's one way to dead all this, and that's by getting it done.
Show up, yeah. By no doubt. I mean, you know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of game where, you know, it'd be great if you can get contributions from those, as Shaq calls them, others, right? Mm-hmm. Or Chuck calls them others. You know, it'd be great if you can get some points from Keegan or some points from Keon Ellis or a big game out of Davion. But ultimately, do the Kings stand a chance if De'Aaron scores under 30 points? I don't think so. I can't imagine how this Kings team could win unless they, you know, are winning a game that's under 110 points. I just think De'Aaron Fox has to be big in this game. I think he knows it. I think the Warriors know it, but I think that he's just got to be an unstoppable force. I mean, if GP2 is not going to be able to play, I don't know if they have anyone who can slow down De'Aaron. He's got to take advantage of that. And, you know, yeah, we've seen Jalen Brunson do it all year for his Knicks team. De'Aaron's going to have to put on the cape at the very least for one game.
Well, I guess they'll try. I know Clay cannot hang with De'Aaron. No disrespect. Anymore. Maybe Pajemski a little bit.
Maybe,
he's gonna Pajemski, and I believe he's taking the most charges
out of.
Is it everyone?
Everybody in the NBA.
So,
yep.
And I hate charges. So
I hate Pajemski.
He's writing that down as we speak.
I hope he does.
Note it. When we return, continuing the conversation, opening up the phone lines, all guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. How did we get here? And we will set up the situation. Also talking Warriors and the NBA playoffs as a whole. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
831, Chris, you are on point. Not having Malik is so huge. On the text line, responding to our breakdown of their text message. Let's talk about how things could shake up and just setting up the situation, the lay of the land for this week. And as John Dickinson, JD, was on the morning show with Jason Ross, kind of talking about surviving the week. Everybody's trying to survive this week and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. And by the way, John Dickinson, there's probably not a better person to have on to break
literally.
Because John is literally, I feel like we have almost, like, without asking, like, John, get out. It's like, John, why are you here?
Right.
He shows up to literally as many Kings and, I mean, I know he's at every Warrior game, but he shows up to as many Kings games as possible. So if anybody's qualified to talk about the ins and outs of this matchup, absolutely go listen to JD on this morning with the guy, not with the guys, just with Jason. And I believe Simone was in there as well. But yeah, absolutely. Like this last week, honestly, like, could the NBA have drawn up this week any better, or I guess this previous week up any better, just with all of the lead up into it? And then you had the big New Orleans game as well against against the Lakers on Sunday. It's been a crazy ramp up, and you know, I think this week is going to deliver a lot of promise as well. It's kind of crazy. The playoffs start on Sunday. Like, they still start this week, as crazy as that is. So I think it's going to just be a continuation of it. The games this week, some of them are good. Some of them, you know, I think more so on the Eastern Conference, that 9-10 matchup isn't quite doing it for me. But this is what you play for all season long. And in a weird way, like, this is what being a fan is about, right? Is you know, this week could be one that we talk about for years to come, where the Kings, against all odds, beat the Warriors and beat whoever to limp into a playoff seed. And, you know, the who knows how the actual playoffs end up going, but this could be a nice little capper on the season, or it could be complete disappointment tomorrow, or I'm sorry, Wednesday. We can come in talking about how big of a failure this season is. It, all things are up and possible, and I think that's what what is so great about sports sometimes is the swing of emotions that can happen with just the result of one or two games. And and I think this week is really going to be the epitome of it.
Yeah, and really it comes down to if they beat the Warriors, how do you feel?
Yeah.
How much better would it make you feel if they beat the Warriors?
Right. Especially if that's the one game, like if they still don't make
Let's see. Let's say they lose. Because here's the thing. It's interesting how Kings fans really would be worried if the Kings win and then the Pelicans lose to the Lakers. Because obviously we know the we know the past. Story. The delusion with the Laker fans is that they're staring at a team that they've lost to four times this season, and they don't really seem fazed by that.
Yeah.
And with a banged-up Anthony Davis now.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and we already know how Sabonis does in that matchup, too.
Yeah.
So if AD's banged up, if it's, I think they said it's his back, too, right?
It was back spasms or something like that.
I mean, that's not gonna bode well when you got that shoulder in your chest all game. So, you know, I think that that would be definitely a good matchup. For. And you want to talk about a swing of emotions – I mean, I know Kings fans probably, like I said, I don't think, I'd love to hear, call in, please. I want to hear if there's people out there who are just like, Chris, you're crazy. We still have faith. We still, I know TC definitely still got faith that the Kings can get this done. But you want to talk about a swing of emotions. If the Kings beat the Warriors and then have to match up against the Lakers and Lakers fans are still talking all this crazy stuff, Kings fans are going to go right back to the well of these, like the rivalry. It's not going to be back to what it was, but those old emotions are definitely going to brew back up and it's going to get crazy. So that's definitely what I'm rooting for from an entertainment perspective.
Yeah.
Is absolutely Lakers delusion against Kings just being that underdog story that is really never been more of an underdog than they are now.
Yeah, the Kings are in a really interesting position because they have the opportunity to exercise a bunch of demons or those demons could get even scarier.
Yes.
We're talking about it
Absolutely.
Because if you beat the Warriors, it doesn't really matter who's next because you would either beat the Lakers again and have full ownage over them, or you would finally beat the Pelicans in the most important game of your season.
Right.
If you lose to the Warriors, obviously that would be brutal.
Crushing.
Okay. If you beat the Warriors and then lose to the Pelicans, now you've lost to a team four. That's got to be a record now.
Yeah, six times.
Besides the what was it, the 50s and 60s when there were four
Even
teams.
Even then, I hope.
Yeah. That's got to be a record if you go 0-6 or you lose to a Laker team when it matters most, when you had owned.
Right.
But now, to be fair, you beat the Lakers. You had Malik Monk,
and
I don't know if you had Kevin Herter the last time, but you definitely had Malik Monk. So that is what it is.
Right.
But
and that's probably the most confusing state to be in, right? Because we eliminate the Warriors, you feel good, you proved maybe one thing, but then ultimately still not reaching your goal of making the playoffs and everything that you just laid out there too.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I think that it means so much. Or it would mean so much to send the Warriors home.
I think so too.
Knowing that you probably weren't going to win the whole thing anyway.
Right.
At least you got that.
Right.
Right. I mean, we're talking about that meme where the guy's popping the bottle and he's in sixth place.
Yes,
but at the same time, you weren't going to win the whole thing. You were maybe okay. You could have got Malik back. We know Kevin Herter's done for the season, so maybe you could have made some noise. But we know who this team is. It's the epitome of a tiny victory, but I think it would do wonders for the team to get this done. And even if you lose to the Lakers next, you know they're probably going to shoot seven. They're shooting a free throw right now for their game tomorrow. So if you lose to the Lakers or you lose to the Pelicans, but you beat the Warriors, I think it would make everybody feel better. It doesn't change the summer conversation.
Right.
But at least least you can say you sent the Warriors packing.
Yeah, because the last thing you want, like you said, is for those demons to get even bigger. You don't want the Warriors fans to then have – because who knows if this is the last time of this run too. So you want to get them before they get out the door. If Klay leaves this offseason – you're not going to have another opportunity to tell Warrior fans like, ah, like we got you, like, because then it's always going to be, yeah, but you didn't beat our big three. So you gotta try and take advantage of that. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it would be great at the very least. You know, you're like, if we're both dying, if we're both jumping off this building, I'm taking you with me. And that's, you know, it's a small victory, but I think at this point in the season with how everything is shaken out, I think you would take it, and ultimately we would definitely have bigger picture conversations that would just definitely trump that entire thing. But at the end of the day, it is something positive that you can take from the season. And Mike Brown keeps talking about experience. I do think winning a play-in game, it shows something. It's an elimination game. It's nowhere near a game seven, but it's about as close of circumstances as you can try and replicate. Mm-hmm. As many bites at the apple of a game seven as you can get, which the Kings already have won, which is more than teams like OKC and maybe even Minnesota, if I'm remembering correctly. That's something that you can take forward, and it is a learning lesson. But again, there would be much bigger conversations that we're having around it, but small little victory.
I know the Kings beat the Warriors in that in-season tournament game to get in,
right,
and then got ultimately packed up by the Pelicans. But let us not forget, you opened this season in Sacramento. You opened Golden 1 Center's doors with the Warriors, and you lost. Do not let the Warriors close that door.
Right.
Do not start the season. Actually, that'd be the second time, Chris.
Yes, second time that they have
that the Warriors would close the doors to Golden 1 Center.
Grand closing.
You cannot let that happen. And I know this team isn't really a rah-rah team. Get Mason Jones. Get anybody.
That dude who does the circle after the warm-ups. The
strength and conditioning dude.
Get him out
everybody.
There.
Call me up.
JaVale.
We got to get the JaVale,
Malik,
the fan favorite.
Playing.
They were loving JaVale yesterday.
Oh, JaVale was loving JaVale yesterday.
You got to find it.
Yeah.
You got to find
it. Hey,
look, if it happens, it happens. Whatever. Right. But you really got to find it here, Kings.
Don't leave it any. Leave anything.
You can at least feel better themselves.
Yep.
Hey, we got the experience of a game seven. We exercised some demons. We know we didn't have it. We didn't have Malik. We didn't have Kevin Huerter. But at least we did this. This is the one thing that everyone's asking.
Yes,
what?
Please.
Stiles and Watkins, we see you, Jordan. We see you, TC. We'll get to you when we return quickly. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 925, LOL, talking about 50 wins out of the All-Star break. Now we want a moral victory. We have massive problems when an injury to our sixth man derails our season.
I mean, they almost got 50 wins, and Malik missed the last 10 games.
Yeah. And again, I don't think it's a moral victory. I would just put in perspective that nobody thought there'd be a parade even with Malik.
Right.
So if you were, it's almost, I was going to say two different conversations. It's almost three different conversations. It's the fact that you didn't take care of business while you had Malik and Kevin Huerter.
Yep.
And then the last couple games without Malik was more understandable. It almost makes more sense to talk about the games that you tricked off with Malik and Kevin Huerter than without them, because what are you really expecting? Using the term six man in 925, if you're a Kings fan, then you understand that context is not fair. I mean, he played starter minutes.
Yes.
So when you lose an actual starter and you lose someone who plays starter minutes, I don't really – and you were in games and eventually just role players cooled off.
Right.
That, to me, bugs me way less than the games you lost when you were fully – and we have those numbers, too, from the Kings Herald – when you were fully healthy and you were tricking off games. I'll talk about that before I talk about losing Malik Monk, because the expectations, they changed there. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Jordan, who's been hanging out during the break. What's up, Jordan? What you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So my confidence level tomorrow, I would say, is about 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to the game. I took my son to his first Kings game. And he was excited because he saw the indoor beam. But he was asked me, what's the next game? I said, it's going to be Tuesday because it's the Warriors. And he asked me, are we going to see the beam? And I didn't give him a good answer.
You can't lie to your kid.
Come on.
Yeah. But I was like, you know what? You should be lucky. You probably saw the last beam of the season. But I'll say this. Tomorrow, you know what? I think a big part about tomorrow's game is going to be the bench. I mean, I think Trey Lyles should have a good game. Especially Davon Mitchell. I mean, what was it, the game? I think it was the game against the Suns. The bench only had like 7 points.
Right.
You're not going to win a lot of games with a bench going for 7 points. So, I mean, you know what? I think as a Kings fan, if you guys haven't been looking at social media like Instagram or Reddit the past 24 hours, I think tomorrow as a Kings fan is our game 7 of, the NBA Finals. If we could beat the Warriors tomorrow, I'll be satisfied.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. Good stuff. Jordan said, I can't lie to my boy.
Yeah.
I respect it.
I got to bring some positivity, I think.
Sure.
Right now, I know there's a lot of skepticism, but you guys remember last year when the Kings went up 2-0 on the Warriors?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At home?
Yeah.
I mean, if they go up 1-0, it's over, right?
It's over.
So,
nobody thought they would win game 6.
And then what? We're one HB shot away from being up 3-0?
We've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's a completely different vibe. That's how much Malik Monk means to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm looking at it here. Game 1 that you're talking about, Malik Monk, 32 points off the bench. They just don't have that. Now, to our caller's point there, Trey Lyles had 16 in game 1. In game 2, let's see here. Kings won. Malik had 18 off the bench. Davion Mitchell had 14. Trey Lyles had 0. Can't have that. Alex Len had 4, was playing 8 minutes, but it's a lot of starters. Kevin Huerter had 15. You had 24 and 24 from Sabonis and Fox. You know, I think that it's just a completely different ask of what they were before. Again, game 6. You had Malik Monk, 28 points off the bench.
No, he went off.
They just don't have that pop. And so I think you're just going to have to play a different style. I think that's the thing that I'm thinking about the most is how unique is this game that we're about to watch? Because to me, Mike Brown can't play like how he's played this team in the past because he doesn't have the same team that he had in the past. I don't know if you go big and play Keegan at the 2. I don't know if you play Keon Ellis 35 minutes. I just think that you have to be really unique in this game plan. You almost have to.
Are you saying you have to
try and surprise the Warriors?
You saying unique from what we've seen the last 10 games?
Yeah, like this needs to be its own independent game plan. There is no rotations with this game. There is just whatever we think. Whoever the best 6, 7, maybe 8 guys that we think can disrupt this Warrior team from what they like to do. That's what you got to throw out there. It can't be, you know, hey, this is just a random example. Sasha hasn't played, hasn't been a part of the rotation. Or Kessler Edwards is maybe a better example.
Yeah.
Kessler Edwards isn't somebody who you would think would probably play if this was a playoff series. But this is a one-game thing. If you feel like, hey, we need 5 good minutes on Steph Curry, let's just throw Kessler. Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about is you can't really be stuck to anything you've done in the past. This needs to be a single game game plan where you just throw everything you've seen out and you just have to try and win the day, honestly, because that's what it is. You're not thinking long term here. There is no tomorrow. If you've had any thought, Mike Brown knows the ins and outs of this Warrior team probably better than anybody else out there. What are their weak spots? And you have to try and take advantage with whatever you have.
Yeah, and look, we're trying to protect ourselves because I've been pretty high on this Kings team. I thought they'd beat the Pelicans. I thought that last stretch, I thought they'd either beat the Kings or the Celtics. And they just haven't been able to get it done. So that's why I think, and I'm not speaking for everybody at all, I think that's why I think a lot of Kings fans are jaded because of what they've just watched. Yes. It's not that they don't believe in the Kings. It's that they did believe in the Kings, right, and the Kings have just let them down time and time again this season. But this Warrior team, and as we start to break them down, they're not perfect at all.
No.
They have a plethora of their own issues, and they will get in their own way. That Pelicans game, they really needed that rest. That's why they rested Steph against the Jazz, right? They didn't play Steph. They didn't play Draymond. Steph had rolled his ankle, and you know, I believe he's going to play. But Steph, you know, people had said he looked tired, and he's not been injured, but he's been banged up. They're trying to survive. And I'm looking here, Chris, because you know I don't love the blitzing, but Steph Curry has always been pretty loose with the biscuit.
Yeah.
That man will turn the basketball over. New Orleans, we know they got length, and that's why they're so good defensively. Steph Curry had 7 turnovers against New Orleans.
Yeah.
7.
More of that.
7 turnovers against New Orleans. Yeah. He almost had a triple-double with turnovers. He's going Russell Westbrook on us. 916-339-1140. Let's get to our guy, TC. Wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, TC? We know you got the positive vibes, TC. Get it going.
Hey, look, check it out. First and foremost, what's up with Style and Chris, man?
What's up, man? What's Monday, up, man? Yeah. You know?
Just getting ready for war.
Man, hey, listen, ready for war. The vibes is up. Hey, look, check it out, Kings fan, everybody. This is how the cookie crumbled. We dropped a few games early in the season. This is where we stand at. The world wanted to see the Kings and the Warriors. And quite honestly, bro, we got to face this demon, big dog. We got to beat these dudes, bro, and send them home, period, point blank. And then we got to move on to either the Lakers or the Pelicans. In my opinion, it's two demons that we finna face. We got to beat the Warriors, and we're going to have to beat the Pelicans, bro, to get into the playoffs. And then we're going to knock off the Thunder, bro. That's my prediction right now. Stand up, go to one, get ready to rock tomorrow, bro. Davion, the only thing that's going to be different is Mike's not going to do what he did in Game 7 and keep Davion on the bench, bro. That's going to be the it factor. That's going to be the it factor, guys. That's what I got. Let's go.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, TC. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. And
I got my positive juices flowing.
That's right. And when we
I forgot about that, Game 7.
When we return, we have how the Warriors have changed. And yeah, the Kings are missing Malik. And yeah, they're missing Kevin Huerter. But they ain't been to Ellis Island yet.
That's right.
And they gonna see.
That's right.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.